Good evening, everybody. Sounds loud. Well, I was glad to see Edie made it and let me know that the Broncos won the game. That's good. Little story to read before we get started tonight. Story about elk hunting. Bubba and Jake chartered a plane with a pilot to drop them off in the wilds of Alaska for a week of elk hunting, just the same as they did the year before. When the pilot returned with the plane, Bubba exclaimed joyfully to the pilot, "We had a great hunting trip. We bagged 4 elk." The pilot regretfully explained, "Unfortunately, our plane can only fly with the weight of 2 elk. You'll have to leave the other 2 behind." Bubba and Jake were both infuriated and insistent, "We won't allow you to fly this plane out without all 4 elk," James demanded. The eager-to-please pilot relented, and the plane took off with the 3 of them and their 4 elk. About 15 minutes into the flight, the engine started to sputter, and within seconds, they were hurtling to the ground. Wearily arising from the wreckage, Bubba looked at Jake and wheezed, "Do you have any idea where we are?" Jake, quite pleased with himself, replied, "Yes, we're about a mile from where we crashed last year." Looks like they didn't learn their lesson the first year. Tonight I want to talk about the magic bank account. The magic bank account. I want to read you a little story that kind of inspired my message tonight. It says, imagine that you had won the following prize in a contest. Each morning your bank would deposit $86,400 in your private account for you to spend. However, this prize has rules, just as any game has certain rules. The first set of rules would be everything that you didn't spend during each day would be taken away from you. You may not simply transfer money into some other account. You may only spend it. Each morning upon awakening, the bank opens your account with another $86,400 for that day. The second set of rules are, the bank can end the game without warning. At any time, it can say, "It's over." The game is over. It can close the account and you will not receive a new one. What would you personally do? You would buy anything and everything you wanted, right? Not only for yourself, but for all the people you love. Right? Even for the people you don't know. Because you couldn't possibly spend it all on yourself, right? I mean, that's hard to do. You would try to spend every cent and use it all, right? Actually, the game is reality. Each of us is in the possession of such a magical bank. We just can't seem to see it. The magical bank is time. Each morning we awaken to receive 86,400 seconds as a gift of life. And when we go to sleep at night, any remaining time is not credited to us. When we haven't lived up that day, it's forever lost. Yesterday is forever gone. Each morning, the count is refilled, but the bank can dissolve your account at any time, without warning. So, what will you do with your 86,400 seconds each day? So, kind of like another thing that inspired me, we had a friend recently passed away. He went to sleep at night and never woke up the next morning. He had went into a diabetic coma while he was asleep. Never got to tell his family goodbye. Never got to tell his family he loved them. He just never woke up. We want to look at this tonight from the past, present, and future of our times. If you would, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start reading in verse number 51. says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." This is something that we all realize. Death will come to all someday or another, unless we happen to be present at the rapture time. Christian saints who have preceded us before with the physical death, we have comfort knowing that they will be resurrected and we will once again be joined with them. But the live Christians, those that know the Christ as their Savior, they're going to experience what I call a twinkling death. It tells us there in our scriptures today that it's the Christians that'll experience this, not the lost people. When? We don't know that date yet. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be any time. We know this. Nothing else has to be done other than a last soul has to be saved before the rapture takes place. That's all we're waiting on. Where? At the rapture of the Lord's church, that's when we will go through what I'm referring to as the twinkling death. Because it tells us there that our body is going to have to change. We are a corruptible body. And the corruptible body is not going to be welcome in heaven. So we're going to have to put on the incorruption. It tells us there in verse number 52, "And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Now, we're not talking about a long process. Most people, death can be over many days, many weeks, many months sometimes. Sometimes it's, instant with like a heart attack or something. But at this point in time, this is going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. Right now, everybody take time and twinkle your eye. We just got changed if the rapture had taken place. The twinkling of an eye doesn't take long. And then after this twinkling death, we become incorruptible and with an immortal body. Now, when God cancels our time account that we're talking about today, each day our time on this earth, it cannot be retrieved. That's why we're talking about the past tonight, right now. It cannot be changed. Once you've lived today, today is gone. We can never go back and relive it again. Anything that was good happened during that day, that's great. But anything that's bad happened, that you feel bad about, then that's nothing we can do about that. It's gone forever. Each year we grow older. We cannot regain our youth. How many people, and I hope I don't offend nobody, I hope nobody in here has done that, but how many people get a kick out of all these people that want to get the facelift surgeries? They want to become young again. First of all, most of them I don't think are very successful. But we can never regain our youth, folks. Once we get another year older, once you celebrate that birthday, that year is gone forever. That 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40, whatever it is, it's gone forever. So we can never regain that time. Our past is a memory that cannot be changed. When God says our time is up, our past becomes a memory for most folks. We can never share our love with another. We can never change a life again. We can never witness to another soul or win another soul to Christ. So, for the Christian, the grave is not our destiny. It's just a stopping point for our body until that rapture takes place. Death is swallowed up in victory. We are guaranteed victory over this grave. We know, and that's the reason why as Christians we can have such great joy, actually, at a funeral. Yes, we miss our loved ones. There's no doubt about that. But we know what's happening to them. We know where they're at. Just like Brother David mentioned in the last funeral, this brother, that, you know, the moment he took his last breath, he had a massive heart attack. He was in the presence of Jesus instantly. So if nothing else, I mean, we feel sorry for ourselves sometimes, but we all really feel a little jealous because he's with the Lord and we're not. We can never, joy and peace will be our reward forever. We'll have that mansion in glory land. A reunion of the saints. Can you imagine walking down the streets, seeing our friends and family that we've lost through the years? It'll be a wonderful time. And most of the important, though, and more so than that, is we shall see Jesus at that time, our Savior, the one that allows us to have salvation, to make us a joint heir with Him, to the rewards that God has promised us. Then let's look at the present time, James chapter 4. Used to be one of my daddy's favorite sayings. James chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas do you know what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." We need to use our 86,400 seconds each day to the fullest. You can't ever get it back. Once that day is gone, it's gone. So we only have today, so the past is gone forever, so we have the promise of tomorrow for our earthly body. We have no promise. It's, you know, and that's what I was referring to my dad. He used to always say, anytime he had any kind of plans, he said, "If the Lord's willing, we're going to go such and such." Because, you know, so what? Someday the Lord may not be willing. Like we talk about on this bank account of time, the bank account of money, the bank account of time. When God says your time's up, the time's up. And we can no longer make plans from that point. What did you accomplish today? Think about your last day on earth. Did you have prayer time with Jesus? Did you talk to him before you met him? Did you read through your Bible that day? Did your life testify of your love for Christ? And then one of the unfortunate things, would you be ashamed of something you'd said that day to somebody? Or, you know, like a customer service rep. You know, I've seen people, really being in the business world myself for so many years, I've seen people just lash out and make a customer service rep just want to cry. And when there's nothing that they could do about the problem. But then it's not just somebody that was lashing out and being cruel to that person. Many times it was a good Christian that was doing this. What a testimony to have to live with if that was your last day of your life. Are you proud of what you have done with your life? If it is, if this was to be your last day on earth, could you say, "I'm proud of what I've accomplished"? The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 90 a little bit about our future. Verse number 12. It was Moses. It says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Number our days. We need to make each day count in our life so that we are accomplishing something. Something for the future. Because the past is gone forever. We can't do anything about what happened yesterday. But we can do something today. We can do something that will affect the future of all those around us. We only have this now, this day, to accomplish the will of God in our lives. That means we need to make each day count. You will never get it back. The Bible tells us that throughout. It tells us the harvest is ripe unto harvest. The fields are white unto harvest. I'm trying to quote it and I couldn't remember it. But we need to be out there working each and every day to see those saved. We need to plan on stuff. Brother Will was telling me Wednesday night how he was going to witness to his doctor when he went to see him. I haven't talked to him, but I bet he did. Yeah, he did. Make each day count, and then live your life so as you are not ashamed of your actions. One day at a time, living for Christ. It's one day at a time. I started to ask my wife to sing that song, and she does a wonderful job on it, but I didn't want to, her voice has been giving her problems, so I didn't want to do that. But that song tells us that we only have today, one day at a time, to live your testimony the best you can. Then this, in turn, then, will lead us to wisdom. If we live our lives one day at a time, living it for Christ, letting your testimony shine, then this will lead to wisdom. Which wisdom, in a nutshell, it means that you are mature. You have fought the fight. Each and every one of us should use our 86,400 seconds each day as wisely as we possibly can. Unfortunately, we have to spend some of it sleeping. But the part we're awake, we need to do what we can. We can then say, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, it says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all of you who love his appearing. We need to live our life in such a way, like Brother David says, where the preacher don't have to lie about you at your funeral. I honestly got asked to do a funeral about 4 or 5 years ago now. Guy called me over to his house and said, Brother Gary, would you mind telling a few lies about me when I go? He must have had a premonition because about 6 months later he died. And that was my opening comment at the funeral. I'm up here to lie to you folks. No, he was a good man. He was a good man. Well, I thank you all for coming tonight. It's a good Sunday night crowd. Keep Brother David in your prayers. He was hurting so bad this morning. He was. It was all he could do. He's a one very, very tough man. Most people could never sit up there in that chair and preach like he did this morning. And then God blessed in such a great way with our additions to our church. Next Sunday morning, don't want to miss it. We'll be baptizing that teenage girl. And it'll be a great time in the Lord. Pray for David and Jody this week. They're going to El Paso on Thursday for his doctor's appointment. And of course, you know about the Levite choir. Already announced that tonight. So let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Thank you all so much for coming. Our most gracious Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, Father. We thank you for your word that is precious to us, that gives us the assurances of what we live in our life to, Father. We know that you love us. We know that you want the best for us, and we are to give our best for you. So, Lord, thank you for dying on that cross. And give us a good week for you, Father, that we might live our testimony for you and that others might see Christ in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night, y'all.